Morning, SP. let us pray before we begin today's prayer meeting, the time of corporate just intercession. Father God, we just thank you, Father, for this morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. I pray it's a great start to a restful and eventful weekend. The best way to start really is just to pray, to intercede for the bride of Christ and for the members of this body. And also to hear your word and to meditate on the word that you have for us today, particularly in Galatians chapter 5 and chapter 6. Thank you, Father. May you speak through me and help me share the truth and encouraging words of bringing people closer to Jesus today. In your son's name we pray, Father. Amen. Amen. So this morning I want to share from Galatians chapter 5. Firstly, we're going to go through both chapters. There are a few verses that I want to focus on. And so if you have Galatians 5 and 6 before you, let's just read that together. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, and divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who's taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but the desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, this is a longer reading than usual, because I feel that it deserves some context as to the message I want to share today. And as I was meditating on Galatians chapter 5 and 6, what really stuck out actually is not the fruit of the Spirit, nor what it looks like when one is not walking in the Spirit, but actually the penultimate verse in chapter 6. Paul says, "From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." So I guess, brothers and sisters, what marks for Jesus do we have in our life? Well, Paul would say that in those days, the mark, the most prominent, predominant, obvious mark of faith, well, obviously, especially for men, because I don't think women can be circumcised, is circumcision. And so the whole debate that the whole dichotomy and the debate that he's saying right here in chapter 5 and 6 is, what about those who still want to be circumcised? Because for them, in the state of their heart, they feel that that is what is required of them to go to heaven. That is what is required of them to be faithful Christians, especially for the Jews that have become Christian. They're struggling in terms of the interaction between law and grace. And Paul here is saying in chapter 5, that's why Christ has set us free. Verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, only faith working through love." But Paul was addressing a group of people, a crowd of people that did not believe that. These people believed that, no, actually, in Christ Jesus, circumcision still matters. And so you need to be circumcised so that you do not incur the wrath of God. Paul says that type of teaching, where you have grace, but on top of that is a little bit of law, that type of teaching he likens to a little leaven that leavens the whole lump. And in verse 10, he says, "I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who's troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is." Meaning, there were people that said, yes, true, God's grace is sufficient, but you must also do A, B, C, D, and E at the very minimum. And this is precisely what Paul means in verse 13. "Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh," meaning do not then be freed by Christ only to impose people under the burden of the law yet again. Instead, Paul is saying there's a better way. There's a better way of discipleship. There's a better way of growing closer to God. And that is not simply the mark of the flesh, meaning circumcision, but through love, serve one another. That's why in verse 14 and 15, it says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word." So instead of fulfilling the law that says you should be circumcised, the whole of the law, the purpose of the law, even the purpose of that one law of making a mark on one's flesh by way of circumcision, even all of that can be distilled into one commandment. And that is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But on the other hand, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another, which is precisely what happened when people started teaching that perhaps grace is not all sufficient. Perhaps you need to be circumcised too. And once you open that door to legalism, once you open that door, that foothold to that type of legalism, Paul is saying that is not loving your neighbor as yourself, because once you start with that, you end up potentially biting and devouring one another, and that eventually we may end up consuming one another. And that that's the context in which we then learn about the fruit of the Spirit, which is often the ones that we learn about in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. The context is that Paul is saying when we are facing this type of dissension within the church, within the body of Christ, he's not saying that the people that are teaching this are non-Christians. He's not saying that at all. He's saying that this is the culture that you grew up in. And now that you've become Christian, there are still people that seem to think that by becoming Christian, you still have to follow certain aspects of the law. And he's trying to tell you that, no, the law is fulfilled in Christ Jesus already. And the law is distilled into loving your neighbor as yourself. And so how then are they to walk as Christians? They're trying to figure that out of their Jewish identity. They're trying to figure out what does that mean for them now that Christ has done the work on the cross. And that's why he says, well, that's why we're given the Holy Spirit now. How do we walk in step with the Holy Spirit? Well, firstly, the Holy Spirit will keep us from doing what our flesh wants to do. That's what it says in verse 17. To keep you from doing the things you want to do. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. So what is the thing that they want to do? Well, here, the context is that they want to do things to prove that they're worthy. They want to be circumcised to prove that they're worthy, to prove that they're perhaps more worthy than those who are uncircumcised. But then verse 18, it says, you're led by the Spirit. You're not under the law. The moment you are under the law, meaning you're under condemnation, the moment you make religion about how discipled one is, how disciplined one is, how much we fast, how much we pray, how much we read the Bible, it's all about volume and never about quality of faith. It's all about quantity, but never about how we bear each other's burdens. When it's all about that, actually, that can become the work of the flesh. And that's when he says the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. Interestingly, Paul is not saying that these are things that are exclusive to those that are not Christian. The context is that this can happen in the church. Remember when he wrote 1 Corinthians, he wasn't writing to non-Christians. 1 Corinthians, the rebuke was against the church. In other words, there are members of the church that are working the works of the flesh. And he's precisely targeting those people right now. It's not surprising for him to say that the secular world is walking in a way that is away from the Spirit. But he's saying to us today, when we're reading this letter, he's saying we need to keep in step with the Spirit. Because if we don't, and we claim to be people of the faith, this very thing could happen. We could be the ones that are submitting to the works of the flesh. We could be the ones that, instead of standing under the freedom and grace of God, we are reimposing the disciplines, well, not the disciplines, but the law that actually creates condemnation on people. We're creating a barrier between us and God by instilling the requirement that certain laws have to be fulfilled before one can have a quality relationship with God. And Paul is saying, no, enough of that. Because in place of that is the fruit of the Spirit, which we're, of course, all very familiar with. So that then leads to the heart of what we've been trying to drive at today. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step. Let us not become conceited, provoking each other, envying each other. Precisely the type of thing that would happen in a community that puts its backbone on how well they obey the law. But when your backbone is on grace, there's no competition. There's no comparison because everyone is a beggar of grace. No one can say I'm a better beggar or a worse beggar. Everyone receives and is a recipient of grace on the same level. And even when they walk closer to God, all they can say is that even that walk with God, even that sanctification is by grace alone, by faith alone. There can be no boasting, not even in how faithful one becomes in Christ Jesus. And so then that leads us to chapter 6. Paul says, if anyone is caught in any transgression, of course, Paul is talking about the transgression where people are still doing the works of the law, where people still rely on their own strength to go before Jesus, where people believe that they're not good enough, which is completely hypocritical and contrary to the message of the gospel. Everyone is not good enough. But you cannot overcome that by praying more, by reading the Bible more, by going to house church more, by doing EG, GIC, whatever it is, whatever discipleship program that this church has to offer. By doing those things, that doesn't make you a better Christian in and of itself. Those are just platforms to help you. But doing those things in themselves should not be, using Paul's words here, the mark of the faith. The whole fruit to show the mark of the faith is here. Do our actions lead to the willingness to restore others, especially those caught in transgression, in the spirit of gentleness? Because if we don't do that, it's very easy to become to make it about competition. It's like, this brother is walking in sin. I'm going to tell them how they shouldn't walk in sin. I'm going to show them a new way. But by doing so, you're actually creating a sense of rivalry and competition that you may not know. That's why Paul says, keep watching yourself lest you too be tempted. You may end up being the hypocrite by walking in the law instead of walking by grace. The spirit of grace means that we try to lift up our brothers in that gentleness, knowing that all of us are still beggars of that grace. Verse 2, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ, meaning the love of the neighbor. If anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Again, where do our boasts lie? What do we boast in? The boast is, of course, in Christ alone. Our boast is not in, look at the work that I did in the neighbor. Look at my persuasion of this person that got circumcised. You know, that is the mark of my faith, is that I made these people do these things. I discipled these people to do these things. That's the mark of my faith. And that's what Paul is saying. No, enough of that. Because, and that is why chapter 6, verse 17 is so profound to me. For him, the mark of his faith is not the removal of flesh by way of circumcision. That is the most literal mark of the faith. For him, he actually can say that in ministering to his neighbors, he has had a lot of battle scars. And these are his and his alone. And he's not saying that, therefore, because I have these battle scars, I'm a better Christian than you. He's simply saying these battle scars are a demonstration of me accepting God's grace and God teaching me to bear one another's burden in that spirit of gentleness. And that at all times, Paul can boast in nothing except for Christ. He's not even boasting in his body that has the marks of Jesus. He's not even boasting in his scars. He's simply saying these scars are here because I'm boasting in Christ. I'm walking in the spirit of gentleness because of Christ. I'm willing to bear the transgressions and the burdens of my brother and sister because of the grace of Christ. That is the seed that he wants us to sow. He doesn't want us to sow a seed that creates greater burden rather than sharing a burden of each other. He's trying to encourage the church to walk in that freedom. And the freedom should not be abused or misused to create greater obstacles between us and God. And Paul is saying, if there's anyone can tell you the fallacy of trying to impose the law again, impose a life that is filled with dread again in place of the gospel, let it be Paul. We know Paul's background. He's the chief Pharisee. He is a chief teacher of the law. And yet he would give all of that up to walk by faith. He would give all of that up so that he can remind people that, circumcision or uncircumcision, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you're circumcised, good for you. If you're uncircumcised, good for you. So long as you're not boasting in whether you're uncircumcised or circumcised, so long as you're boasting in Christ Jesus, so long as the mark that you're boasting, again, is not your circumcision or uncircumcision. The mark is that fruit of the Spirit. And the mark can be, that fruit of the Spirit can be demonstrated in action when we walk alongside a brother or a sister that is in the midst of transgression. What do? Do we point fingers and say, woe to you? Do we point fingers and say, well, I told you so? Do we point fingers and say, well, you got to work harder? Or do we say that, hey, brother, sister, we're both just trying to figure out our faith here. We don't know what it means to walk in this tough world and that there's a lot of difficulties. But here, let us walk alongside each other and try to look to Jesus together. That is just one type of the gentleness that we need in this body. And not to presume, not to assume, not to point fingers, but to actually walk alongside, shoulder to shoulder with a brother and sister, because that is what we need. And that's how any church body will grow in grace. And so as Paul says, verse 14 of chapter 6, far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. For now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Christ Jesus. So as I end today's sharing, I just want us to reflect. What is on your body? What marks of Jesus do you have? Look on your actions. Test your own actions. Verse 4, Exodus chapter 6, verse 4 says, let each one test his own work. We should test our own actions. And have we actually been walking alongside other brothers that are struggling, other sisters that are struggling? Have we been working hard to restore them in a spirit of gentleness? Have we been watching ourselves? Have we been testing our works? Or have we instead been boasting in things that don't matter? Have we been boasting in aspects of our faith that really just puffs up spiritual pride? And that we've forgotten the essence of what it means to become a Christian. And it's that all of us stand before God, weak, humble, feeble. And that all of us inherit the grace and inherit these treasures from heaven, not based on anything that we've done, not even after becoming a Christian. And the crowns that we receive in new creation are crowns that are given to us, again, born out of a faith in the person whom I boast alone, and that is Christ Jesus. And that any act that Paul does, in the same way any act that we do, we say is the mark of on our body, the battle scars of faith. But it's not our battle scars that we boast in. It's the fact that Jesus took us on this journey and that we don't care that we have these battle scars on our body and that these are things we wear, knowing that we're walking under that banner of grace. So I pray that we can really reflect on Galatians chapter 5 and 6. And I pray that all of us can walk in that spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But it's not an idle fruit. It's a fruit that functions when we walk alongside people that are different from us. When we walk alongside people that are in the midst of transgression. When we walk alongside people that we disagree with, so on and so forth. That's when the fruit of the Spirit is activated and that we walk and we demonstrate that fruit through action, not just through words, not just by talking, not just by discipleship, but through that bearing of one another's burden. Maybe now I'll just invite Sterling to lead us in worship today. Thank you, Sterling.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father, for just the work on the cross really just opens the way for people to walk and bear with each other's burdens. And Father, I pray for each and every single one of us that are listening to this now or later, that we're always motivated by that spirit of love. And that when we walk with people that are different from us, that we disagree with, that we still are motivated by you, by your love and by your gentleness. Father, that when we face those opportunities to walk alongside a brother or a sister who may or may not be walking in sin or transgressions or walking in a way that is difficult to understand, let us remember that that brother and sister is also before you, equal before you as I am, as we are, and that we have no right to judge them as less or more, but that all we know is that they are beloved by you as we are beloved by you. And God, that you help us, Father, to walk alongside each other, to bear each other's burdens, to share in each other's burdens in that yoke. And let all of us learn to cast that burden onto Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In your Son's name we pray, Father. Amen. Let us spend some time to pray for the community. Let's pray first for those that have been diagnosed with cancer and those that are undergoing chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery right now. Let's pray.
So compares to his great love. forsaken for the sake of all mankind. Salvation is in his blood. Jesus Messiah.
Let's pray next for those that are ill and have yet to meet with Jesus. Let's pray that they come to know Christ and that they also receive healing from their ailments. Now pray for those that are struggling and suffering from certain infirmities. Let's pray for those that are still healing from COVID or affected by COVID, and also pray for the frontline medical workers that are working hard and always on standby to administer those that are struggling. Pray for them, and pray, of course, for those that are involved in the affected by the mental health aspect of COVID that seems so severely undermined. Let's also pray for that, for healing, and for God to cover that too. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters that are in the middle of looking for jobs right now. Let's pray that they have favorable interviews, favorable opportunities, and that the right doors will open, and that they also don't have to wait much longer. Let's pray for them.
the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to hate.
Let's pray for our mission focus. Pray for the opportunities that we have or the ministries that we have connections with in Cambodia, North Korea, India. Pray now for the gatherings we have in this church body over the weekend. Let's pray for the Sunday services, the well, SP Kids, worship, hospitality, youth, bin and spill services and activities, classes that break out, which is important. Let's pray for that. Let's also pray for those that are pregnant in our community. Let's pray for a safe pregnancy and pray for the family as they prepare for this new birth. Let's pray for that. Let's pray for our house churches. Let's pray for those that are meeting up. Bowen, Hollywood, Kingsport, Mawa, and Southside. Let's pray for the house speakers that they have a vibrant and fruitful discussion and fellowship today.
you set in motion, oh God. I sing all glory and honor. What is man that you are mindful? The Son of Man that you would care for him. We sing all glory and honor, oh Lord, our Lord. Oh, how awesome are your ways, how majestic.
Let us now pray for this coming weekend as we close today's time. Thank you, Father, for the time that we spent together this morning. Lord, may you just bless us on this weekend as we close off today's prayer meeting. And I'm sure that we have more opportunities to pray for our community. Father, may you minister to us and speak to us through the word that you've shared in Galatians 5 and 6. And I pray, Lord, that we just have an enjoyable time fellowshipping, enjoying our Sabbath. And Father, that we really just regenerate and rejuvenate ourselves in Christ, that we are spending time with the body that really encourages us and that really walks alongside us and bears our burdens with each other. Thank you, Father. We pray these things in your Son's precious name, Lord. Amen. Have a lovely weekend, guys. We'll see you hopefully very soon. Bye.